My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up later on in the hour, Competition Wednesday, Anthony and I reveal how we did last week on our picks. We'll make new picks for this coming week, three picks against the spread, and whoever has the worst record will spin the wheel of mediocre punishment because it's a weekly bit. And, well, the way things are going so far, one of us might be spinning the wheel a whole lot more than the other, and we didn't want to make the punishment too severe, but it does add up to something worse at the end of the season, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, a slightly delayed edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, he's a star not only of written prose, but of TikTok-length films. Sam Fortier, Commander's Beat Reporter from the Washington Post. Sam, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Because this is a later time slot, I'm curious now what is on the list of mediocre punishments.
There's 100 push-ups. There's loser buys winner lunch. Anthony, what else do you have on that wheel over there that you constructed this afternoon? Anthony did a whole art project, Sam.
So we got an ice bath. We have a costume show. We have
Which, by the way, is like you don't have to do like a full costume. We're gonna buy like one of those little mustache glasses things for like $5, and you just have to wear that and look like an idiot the entire show.
You got that. We have a fantasy football sub of the winner's choosing.
Yeah, so like I could, if he lands on that one, I just sub out one of his players and there's nothing he can do about it.
And then the last one is somebody has to eat extra hot wings.
Yeah, so like a very, but not like level 10 hot ones, but like a level 6 hot ones kind of bit.
Those are all pretty good punishments, except I feel like the fantasy football one is actually more than a mediocre punishment. And the 100 push-ups is not even a punishment for Craig because I feel like that's just something he was going to do anyway, and now he just has to do it for work.
No, that's too many. That's 100 is too many. That is far too many push-ups. And it's also a condensed period of time. It's not like you can be lazy with him. It's like, hey, you kind of got to do them like within a half hour. That's a lot of push-ups. Anthony also probably could do more push-ups than me, if we're being honest.
I love push-ups.
He does.
That's true. I just don't know if Anthony's wife / girlfriend / you know, whatever is a fitness influencer. So that's why I was assuming that you would have done those anyway.
No, I would not be doing 100 push-ups otherwise. I, in fact, when 100 push-ups wind up for some reason in a workout that I'm doing, I get very angry. Sam, nobody cares about this. But thank you for your interest. And anybody that does care about this, Anthony's going to spin the wheel whenever we're done talking to Sam. So, Sam, let's get down to business, shall we? Do you want to start talking football, or you want to start talking about the work you did and have been doing on the RFK side? Which one would you like to start with?
I will let you pick as the host of your show. You know your audience. What do they want to hear about more?
Probably the football. So let's save the football for last. Let's get the RFK stuff not out of the way. Let's dive into it first because you've been reporting on this for a long time. And when we last left our heroes and our villains, the Commanders needed to essentially make good with the Wetzel family, whose inspiration for the old logo, and that is according to Montana Senator Steve Daines, who's holding up the RFK bill in the Senate, which they need to obviously pass so they can then see if they actually want to build a stadium at RFK, which we all know they do. What happened this weekend, and how much did it actually move the needle?
Wow, that was a great setup. So basically, the Commanders brought in, they flew to Montana, them and a representative from the NFL, and then they brought the Wetzels to D.C. to unveil a tribute to Blackie Wetzel, who helped design the logo. And basically, they are saying, hey, like, these are the things that you and the senator wanted. We are doing them. What's the upshot here? And I asked Ryan Wetzel, the leader of the family, does this satisfy your demand? And he said, it's a great step in the right direction. And I said, okay, well, what will satisfy your demand? And he said, I don't want to explain that, basically. So we are now at a point where the clock is ticking on the congressional session. The RFK bill has to pass by the end of the year for D.C. to be in play. And as I asked Josh Harris at the preseason press conference, like, will he commit, if this doesn't work out, to making another effort for D.C.? And he did not do that. So I don't think it is hyperbole to say that if you are a Commanders fan and you want the team to go back to RFK, this bill needs to pass. And so basically now we are in a situation where either the Montana senator is going to be able to kill this bill, or the Commanders and their allies on Capitol Hill are going to be able to pass this bill. And so that, I think, is the showdown that we are heading toward. And there could be a committee hearing as soon as next week.
So the quote that you just referenced, where you asked Ryan Wetzel, well, okay, what it is that would close the rest of the gap? And he's like, well, I don't want to say it out loud. It's one thing to not tell a reporter. It's another thing if the team doesn't know. Do you think the team has an idea of what it would take? And I guess in answering that, Sam, do you think Ryan Wetzel has an idea of what it would take?
No. He has not defined it for the team, as far as I understand. And basically, my understanding is that the senator who, you know, the senator and the family work very closely together, the senator wants the logo to be back on the field. And when the Commanders, two people from the Commanders and a representative from the NFL, flew to Montana last week to meet with the Wetzels at Ryan's home in Western Montana, they said, look, like Jason Wright told me, the quote was, we help them understand the business realities and how other people see this logo. And so we are going to try to thread the needle to do everything for the family. But they basically said, we cannot bring this logo back. We need to do something else.
Right. And you also reference in the story that even within the Wetzel family, there is some disagreement. Ryan is now kind of representing, and he's the one that's working with Steve Dane. So it ultimately it's his opinion. But like, there was a story that you linked back to 2014 where members of the Wetzel family were like, yeah, this logo should go. So this is before, you know, everything that happens in 2020 and ultimately the renaming. But ultimately, the NFL is not going to allow that. The team, I don't think, wants to do that. So at the end of the day, if Ryan Wetzel and Steve Daines are working together on this, like, I don't have a less crude way to ask this, Sam, but like, who's driving the bus here? Is it Daines for political reasons? And is Ryan, like, again, I'm sorry to do this to Ryan Wetzel, but like, is he essentially being used as a political pawn here? Or is Ryan Wetzel coming at this from a really genuine place and Steve Daines is trying genuinely to make sure that this family, which ultimately is his constituent and his constituents, is getting what they want?
I think you are asking the questions that a lot of people have a lot of opinions on who are in this situation trying to resolve the issue. To me, I thought it was very revealing that the senator from Montana in May, when he said, I will block this bill to help my constituents in Montana because they are not being heard, sit down with the Wetzels and figure something out. Literally, as the commander or as the Wetzels were sitting in their suite when the Commanders flew them in, the senator, Fox News had a report that the senator had sat down with the members of a different family, Two Guns White Calf family, who, you know, his likeness is the logo. The Wetzels designed the logo. The Two Guns White Calf was the inspiration for the logo. And Daines is apparently now meeting with them and saying they want a seat at the table. So I will let you interpret those events how you will.
Okay, so that leaves one more question for me in the form of cynical reporter slash talk show host here for Sam Fortier, Commanders beat reporter for The Washington Post, which is to say, or to ask Sam, Josh Harris says this is the last straw. This also is a presidential election year and a huge election year for Senate seats and House seats and everything across the board. If they're willing to go back to the table, because I could see Harris saying that as a way to say, like, hey, dude, if you're doing this to mess around and score political points, like, this is actually it. Don't play these games. And it's all negotiating. So if all of a sudden, Sam, this is being discussed next year, that Josh Harris decides it's worth taking one more swing, how different are the circumstances not in an election year? Because I have, in talking to folks, I think including you, who have covered this, like, the dynamics do tend to change when the country is going through what it's going through right now with November coming around the corner.
I mean, it is it makes a massive difference because, you know, if Republicans win, that means one thing. If Democrats win, that means another. If it's split, it means another. Like, I am not a political analyst, but I can tell you that, like, there are many experts who see both of these things in different ways. And, like, it makes a massive difference that that's what's happening in the backdrop of them trying to get the bill passed this year.
And then I guess the other part that I'll just tack on before we switch to football is that then leaves open this window post-election potentially for something to happen in the lame duck period before the end of season, before the end of the Congress. So I guess everyone just hold your breath and hope that everybody can get on the same page if you want RFK. Sam Fortier is with us.
Yeah, there's...
Go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say there's going to be 30-ish days in that lame duck session between the beginning of November and the end of December, and it's very likely that, you know, whether the Commanders can, it's somewhat likely that the Commanders, whether they go back, they can go back to RFK, is going to be decided in that period.
Bring on an omnibus bill, baby. Who doesn't love an omnibus bill? Get that thing all pork barreled up. All right, the Commanders defense, there's no transition here. We're just going to go straight to it because you also wrote about this this week. This is our live, Sam. It is what it is.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sam Fortier, The Washington Post, with us. When you look at the issues that they've had, how many of them are concerning? And I ask it that way because some things are predictable, perhaps, and you go, that might just be a reality, versus others that you're like, whoa, didn't expect that to happen. How many of them are concerning to you? And as you do the reporting on them, how many are concerning to the folks inside the building?
That's a good question. I would say predictable, like, I think everyone understood that this outside corner group was among the weakest in the league, that it was going to be a weakness that teams would exploit as they have, you know, really going after the perimeter in the first two games. The missed tackles, I think, is more like, hey, it's early in the season. They didn't play a ton of reps in the preseason. I think that, like, gets better. But I think that there's an overlap there in that Venn diagram, right? Like, when Michael Davis is, like, just getting blown by Malik Nabers, you think to yourself, okay, did Adam Peters build a defense good enough for this team to compete? And I think that, like, this all circles back to the most important point of this year, which is Jaden Daniels' development, because if they're going to trail in every game, if they're going to have to be chasing points all the time and they're going to have to pass a lot and other teams are able to pass rush against Jaden and kind of tee off on them, like, that affects his development. And so no one expected this defense to be good. They don't spend a ton of money on it. They don't have a lot of blue chip players on it. But can they be good enough to, like, help Jaden along? I think that's my big question right now.
When you look at the problems they're facing, like, how many of them do you think they can actually solve? Like, there's schematic things they could do. They can keep tweaking personnel, both in bringing in new guys. They can change who's on the field in certain situations. Like, if you had to isolate one thing that you're like, I think this is where they should start to try to fix this problem, what's the thing that you're attacking first if you're Dan Quinn and Joe Witt?
That's a great question. And I think they know better than I do, but you have to figure out, like, what is our best rotation of corners? And if, like, you have to figure out, is there a better guy? I know they just signed, you know, a depth player, Kevon Seymour, yesterday, but, like, that's not a guy who's going to change the context of this room. I think the free agent market is relatively weak, but, like, is there a better option out there than Noah, and Michael Davis, or can you bring up Anusium, like, from the practice squad? Like, I know that if those guys aren't playing, it means they haven't beat out those veterans already, but I just think that the outside corner play, you have to figure out how can our coverage be better? Because right now, I think it's hurting the pass rush how quickly, you know, teams are able to throw the ball, get it to playmakers, and have those playmakers avoid tackle.
A lot of the ire from the fan base is obviously headed towards Allen and Payne because of the fact that they're known names, known commodities, making a lot of money. They're supposed to be the stars. But, you know, if we talk about, like, who's driving the bus here, do you think the coverage is driving the issues up front? Or is there anything, as you look at, like, the data and watch the tape, that you see up front that you think is driving some of the issues in coverage?
Yeah, so this is a good question. And I have been meaning to go back and look at, like, what percentage of passes when they're pass rushing has the ball come out in faster than 2.5 seconds? Because I do think that's when I'm watching the tape, anecdotally, that seems like to be a factor. And I would say that, you know, I went back and watched the tape, and they're getting doubled and chipped. I know my colleague Nikki also looked into this, but they're getting doubled and chipped a fair amount. To me, like, it hasn't been egregious. Like, I've seen people... you know, questioning the effort and saying that, like, you know, those guys got the money and then, like, started laying back. I don't see that on the tape, at least for now. I think it's been a little more circumstantial, but obviously if you're paying those two guys what you're paying, you really want them to have more than a combined 6 tackles and 2 quarterback hits.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of where I've landed this week is, like, I've got some ideas of what potentially they can do. I'm sure they have ideas. And by the way, I love when you were like, I think they know better than me. Well, Sam, we tried them and they didn't pick up the phone. Like, hey, do you want to tell us all your defensive secrets? And, you know, it's apparently a hard booking. But I, at the end of the day, the easy thing to say at this point in the calendar is if they're making that much money schematically and what the coaches are doing and what they're doing, it's fair to say that they've got to do more than what they're doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think to go back to the point of roster construction, and again, I want to point out that it's been two games at the beginning of a rebuild and a new system. Like, I give them time and relatively the benefit of the doubt right now, but even though it's been a really, I think, brutal first two games. But, you know, do they have the guys on the edge? Is Dorrance Armstrong going to be a guy that, even if he's not taking sacks, like, I just see Duran and John getting doubled, getting chipped, like, quite a bit. And if you're Dorrance Armstrong and you got that deal, like, you at least have to make teams feel you a little more, you know? Like, you have to have them devote resources to you. Because right now, I'm not seeing that as much.
Yeah, that is one of the things. I'm not going to say I'm going to give you homework because I don't have that power over you, Sam 48. But I will give you something that if you want to look up, I think it would be interesting because you have access to this kind of data. I would love to see the numbers, rush yards or like yards per rush against single high versus two high structures, because that is something that they're going to have to do a lot more of, is play a lot of two high stuff because they can't afford to leave guys one-on-one on the outside. And if they're going to do that, then they need, with light boxes, to be able to stop the run, which in many ways is the key to modern NFL defense. This whole, like, Vic Fangio theory of the case is that we can still stop the run with light boxes and dedicate the resource to coverage. And I'd be fascinated to see what the splits are there, because I do think that was a huge problem for them on Sunday. Like, once they kind of got out of some of those single high structures because they realized Malik Nabers was murdering them, that they no longer had the bodies they needed to stop the run. And that's a huge issue.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I think that's the story right now of modern NFL defense, right? Like, you're seeing passing go down across the league. I think it's a little more nuanced than simply they just play more too high, but I think that's a really big part of it, and the Commanders are no exception. Like, as you said, they have to stop the run at a too high looks if they're going to play that way, and you're going to need to play that way to prevent explosive plays if you're going to have this, you know, this corner group. And so, you know, I think that's a huge test for Joe Witt in the first quarter, four or five games of the season, is like, can he figure out a way to do that? Because look, man, like, basically the Giants, and, like, the competition's not getting easier, you know? It's going to be Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Kyler and the Cardinals. And I know Cleveland's got some problems to figure out, but then it's Baltimore. Like, this is not going to be an easy road to say, hey, yeah, we got to limit some explosive plays.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The receivers. I remember when the schedule came out, I was like, oh, we're going to find about these corners real quick. So far, not liking what we're finding, but plenty of games left on the schedule. Sam 48 covering the football and all the other stuff going on, which, thank God, there's far less other stuff than there used to be, but the stadium, Sam's been all over it. For the Washington Post, you can read it at washingtonpost.com/sports. And then you can watch him on TikTok, and you never know who's going to show up in his TikToks.
My show, unlike your show, apparently, has no problem booking high-profile A-list guests.
Well, it's easier, Sam, when you don't ask them and you just put them in the content. Also, thanks for the compliment of saying I'm an A-list guest. That means a lot. I know that was the point of that statement.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, you know, you're a Syracuse grad. We're all Syracuse grads here. I'm happy to pump your ego as well.
Thanks, buddy. Someone's got to. Sam 48, everybody. Thank you, sir. And enjoy Cincinnati.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Sam 48 with us here on The Hoffman Show. Again, washingtonpost.com/sports. You can also search him on TikTok, on Instagram, and check out all the cool digital video stuff that Sam is doing for the Post there. Yeah, the defense thing is going to be fascinating. And we've talked about that quite a bit today, and we'll continue to talk about it. But the RFK thing is so frustrating because there's, as you read Sam's story, and the goalpost moves, you're just like, really? That's what we're doing now? Oh, you want, so here late in the game, you want to make it a little bit harder? And I think that's something that, you know, any fan or anybody that cares about the story can look at. And we all, I think, are skeptical of politicians. It's something that, like, if you're into talking politics, it's something that any good political messenger will tell you is like, saying, oh, that guy's a wishy-washy politician is an attack on an opponent doesn't actually really move the needle that much, because everyone just assumes that all the politicians are, you know, not on the level. It's kind of built in. And then to see it happening to something that you care about is a reminder of one, why we vote for is important. And also, like, the one political issue I will tackle on this show head on is DC statehood. And to know that we don't have a representative in the room to talk about this and to fight back against Steve Daines, no matter what the party is, no matter what party he is, like, that's kind of the point. And I don't understand how some people don't see that. I understand why it hasn't been voted on, because, again, politics for people in other places. But it is kind of the reality that here's this Senate committee deciding something for D.C., and there's no one from D.C. in the room. And now this politician from Montana can just move the goalpost, and we're stuck dealing with the consequences. So that's not great. Great reporting from Sam, though, in the Post, if you want to read more about it. And feel your skin crawl as you see the quotes from Steve Daines and being a politician in real time. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Competition Wednesday, we got three games to pick. And Anthony has to spin the wheel again because he did a bad job picking last week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.